Amen. Isn't it good to see all those children in Sunday school? Amen. What a blessing it is. You know, God's been really good to us here. And I hope we never take it for granted just how good God has been. The moment we take it for granted is the moment that God could stop blessing us. I don't think He wants to. I think He wants us to continue to be faithful. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall what? Reap. And I'm so thankful that I believe we're in the reaping season. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and we don't have a lot of time to waste. And I'm thankful for the souls that are here. No doubt, out of what you just seen dismissed, the chances of all of them being saved right now are very slim. It's very important that we give them the gospel, and that's why we bring them to church, not for numbers, but so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. This morning, I want to talk about dealing with sin and how do I overcome sin in my life. You brought your Bibles. You're going to need them this morning. I'm not going to have you turn to every scripture because we'll never get through it that way. But if you brought your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. I want to talk about dealing with sin and how do I overcome sin in my life. Thank you, Brother Tim. How do I overcome sin? How many would say this morning, Brother Drew, I deal with sin? I think we're all sinners, right? I mean, we're all sinners and we're all in need of a Savior. Some of you have the Savior already. If you're saved, I'm thankful for it. I know I'm saved. But here's what I'm telling you this morning. The bottom line is this. We are all sinners. We all have sin in our life. But can I say this? We can overcome that sin. Amen? So 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, I want to talk about, first of all, what is sin? Number one, sin is breaking God's law. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, whosoever committeth what, church? Sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So God has given us some commandments wherewith we should be living by. Amen? And He says, you know, whosoever committeth sin is transgresseth also the law. So how many, again, raise your hand if you're a sinner this morning. And if you're just like me, you're a sinner. And we've all broken God's law. Which is exactly why in the next hour, pray for the next hour silently while we're teaching this morning. I have a salvation message that I've never preached before. I've preached many, many times on salvation, but never this one. God gave this to me just this week. And I want you to pray that God will use that in a mighty way in the next hour. I'm sure there's going to be some lost people here. But I want everybody to understand this morning that because we've broken God's law, that is why we need a Savior. Because we broke God's law, we had no access to heaven without who? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because we broke God's law, God had to literally send His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. So sin is breaking God's law. Can I say this? In 1 John 5:17, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to go through these rather quickly because I want to get through them. Number two, sin is any unrighteousness. 1 John 5:17 says this, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So anything I do against the Bible, whether I think it's right or wrong, is called what? Sin. And we've got to get to a point, and I think we're getting there. I think we're getting closer and closer. The more Bible you put into your mind, the more your faith is going to increase, the more you grow spiritually, the more you're going to understand that your sin really does affect your relationship with God. And let me tell you this, God longs for a relationship with you more than you long for one with Him, I promise you. It's kind of like this. How many of us have children in here? Most of us have kids in here. And listen, how many can remember sometimes when they're little, you're like, man, if these little guys would just listen a little bit better, our relationship would be so much better. And then, see, we long for that as the father and the mother, but oftentimes when kids are growing up, I wonder this all the time. Do these children even care sometimes? Anybody ever thought that? Look, why? Because they are what? Sinners. Amen? And then you look back and you think, oh, that's what my grandma and grandpa was talking about. When they said, I wish that you would understand now what you're going to understand. And then they would say, I hope your kids give you a double dose of what you gave me. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Well, their wish came true. Praise the Lord. But here's the reality. As much as we long to have that relationship mended with our children, God longs for us to have that relationship with Him. Amen? And how are we going to do that? We've got to understand that all unrighteousness is sin, and all sin affects our relationship with God. Now, sin is not going to separate us from the love of God. We know the Bible teaches that. We believe in eternal security, and all God's people said. Amen. We cannot lose our salvation. Number three, though, sin is anything done apart from faith. In Romans 14, 23, the Bible says this, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now pay close attention to this. The Bible says whatsoever is not of what? Faith is sin. So when I wake up in the morning and I begin to pray, like this week, I'll be honest with you, I've prayed more this week for this VBS and this back to school bash and this bus ministry that's been kicking off. And listen, God rewarded our labor. Amen. But here's the thing. If I wake up and I say, "Oh, I got to go door knocking." Now look, is that by faith? No. I need to have this attitude. I get to go door knocking. I get to go print out some more flyers. I get to go put the gospel in other people's homes. And God, by faith, I'm asking you to take the labor that we've, you know, the Bible says, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. Listen, once you do your job in obedience, can we get somebody to show these young people where their Sunday school class is? There's two little girls right there. Thank you, Miss Janet. Once we are obedient in what God has told us to do, it's okay. Once we are obedient in what God has told us to do, listen, you just learn to trust the Lord with the rest of it. We don't do it to gain anything, claim to fame. Look what we done this week. No. We do it because one day, listen, it's appointed unto man once to what? Die, and after this, the judgment. Listen, God is going to be the righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. All these little people, all these little guys and girls you've seen up here this morning, it's sad to think about this, but every single one of them are going to perish one day, are going to die one day, a physical death, or the rapture is going to come. Okay? And then after that, as innocent and cute and sweet as they may be right now, they have a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen? And that's why we're here. We're here to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And hey, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I think that we have some very faithful men and women here who gave up a lot of hours. I mean, look at this. Do you think this just spoke itself into existence? I promise you it did not. Some people know what I'm talking about. It did not. But look, it took hours of labor and work and sweat and pain and stretching to numerous places where I shouldn't have never been able to stretch. But we made it happen. Why? Because some willing people came to, hey, there's some more young ladies right there. Cressy, can you show them where their class is, babe? Thank you. Or Miss Amanda? Thank you. Where was I? Obedience. We need to trust God. Once we're obedient, listen, you just be obedient. Let God handle the increase part. And by the way, He's handling that. He's doing a very good job. He's a lot better at being faithful than you and I are. Because the Bible, guess what? He cannot lie. How many know we can lie? And we do lie. And we do things that we shouldn't do. And we don't do things that we should do. But see, that's not God. We've got to understand that whatsoever is without faith is sin. So when I go out and I door knock, I say, "God, look, I'm doing this, and by faith I'm trusting that you'll give the increase. God, by faith, I'm going to go knock on doors of people that I don't even know." We went last week and we knocked on 44 apartments in Andalusia. Didn't know a single soul. Don't know if they'll ever darken our church or not, but I can tell you this. 44 homes got the gospel presented to them. They know about Jesus. They have the gospel in their home. Now, hey, it's not up to me what God does with that. It's up to God now. I know this, His word's not going to return void. And I also know this, on the other side of every single door is a never-dying soul that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And God's given us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? So by faith, I just got to trust that what I'm doing is not in vain. Why do I sin? Number two, you sin because you inherited a sinful nature from Adam. In Romans 5:12, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Isn't it weird to think about that one human being, the very first created being, damned all mankind by one choice? But what's more interesting to me than that, Brother Sean, is this. It was the choice of one man in the flesh, God in the flesh, one choice of obedience to die and be the propitiation for all sin. Is that weird? Or is that weird? One man cursed the whole world, Another died so that the whole world could be saved. Isn't that amazing? What kind of God we serve? But we sin because we inherited a sin nature. In 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49, the Bible says this, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." That's Jesus. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, Adam, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." But yes, we've inherited a sin nature. But again, I'm going to ask you again, how many are saved? Say amen. Can I say that you have a spirit that is no longer dead inside of you? Would everybody agree with that? Your spirit has been quickened. It has been made alive. And because of that, you now have a Holy Spirit inside of you that hates all sin. Amen? He hates it all. So because of that, if God is able to save you for eternity, do you think that God could give you the desire to do right? I 100% that He has given me the desire to do right. Listen, there are things before I was saved, and even a little bit after I was saved in my teenage years, I wasn't serious about serving the Lord. I was saved at age 9, but let me tell you this. I didn't live like I was saved for a while. But I'll tell you what changed my life. Prayer from other people. Fasting from other people praying for me. And when I made a decision that I could not live on everybody else's spirituality, I couldn't just go and expect anything to happen to me if I wasn't willing to put in the work on my end. When I started reading the Bible, when I started forming a relationship with God, when I started accepting that there were some things in my life that needed to be gone, and then I said, okay, God, if I'm going to have, I would look at other preachers and I would think, God, you allowed me to be a youth pastor, but how can I become like these men? How can I become like the men that have preached and saw hundreds and thousands of people saved? And I may never get to see that, but listen, I'm thankful for what God's allowed me to do. But it was like this. God said this, "Drew, I want to do so much more with you. But you know you have some things in your life that you're not willing to give up. And I simply can't use you to the ability that I want to because you are making a choice to hold back." And when it became a reality to me like that, Brother Vic, I was like, look, this isn't God's fault. This is my fault. And so I had to make some choices, Brother Blake. I had to say, okay, I like this, but if I'm going to continue this, and I was even crazy about it, you know, I was one of those, give me a verse for it. I just go to the Bible and, you know, whatsoever is without is not of faith is sin. You know, all unrighteousness is sin. There's things in my life that are hurting my relationship with God. And if I want to be better, I've got to make a choice to get the things out of my life. And I had to come to that. But I inherited that sin nature from Adam. Why do I sin? But you sin because your old nature draws you to sin. In James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." You ever heard somebody say, "God made me do it"? If you've been around long enough, you'll hear people say, "Well, I think God led me to do that." Listen, you know, God's never tempted anyone to do wrong. Amen? God's the opposite of wrong. He's 100% right, 100% holy. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, let's be patient there. You sin as a result of temptation in three major areas, which are outlined in 1 John 2:15 through 16. We'll not read that, but Jesus was also tempted in these three areas. He was also tempted in these three areas, yet without sin, as stated in Hebrews 14. You know, how many of you have been tempted this week? Amen. You know, even Jesus was tempted. Did you know that? You can find that in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, where Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Remember, he tempted him three times, back to back to back. And Jesus never once sinned because of that temptation. What he did is he gave us a very clear path and an example of what we ought to do when Satan tempts us. You know how he resisted Satan? With Scripture. He quoted the Scripture to the devil. What would happen if the next time the devil is behind you in your thoughts and you just started quoting scripture? Hey, you know what you're doing? You're putting up a wall now. You're saying, devil, I'm resisting you, and I'm submitting myself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. By the way, he has no choice. Amen? It's not optional for him. He cannot come but what you let him come to you. Jesus was also tempted, yet without sin. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Eve was tempted in this point in Genesis 3:6. Remember when she saw the tree? She saw that it was good for food. Jesus was tempted in this point in Matthew 4:3 when the devil tried to get him to turn stones into bread. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was 40 days and 40 nights, I'd have been looking for anything to eat. The devil come to me after 40 days and say, hey, make these stones bread. I'm going to be like, hey, we're the peanut butter and jelly too, right? That's just me. But I'm not Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is who we ought to be living by. The lust of the eyes. Eve was tempted here when she saw the tree was pleasant to the eyes. I wonder how many of us would admit we've been tempted with our eyes before to lust. Jesus was tempted when the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and promised to give them to him in exchange for worship. And by the way, long before this, Satan was given the prince and power of the earth. Okay, so he had every right to tempt Jesus with the kingdom. He is the prince and power of the earth even today. He was granted that. Amen? So don't think that it was like, oh, it was his to give. It was his. It was given to him. The Bible teaches that. And then the pride of life. Eve fell to the temptation to be desired to make one wise. Jesus overcame the temptation to cast himself down to prove the angels would take care of him. Number three, how does God look at my sin? Well, can I say this? Your sin was judged by God at Calvary. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible reads, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your sin was judged at Calvary. Raise your hand if your sin's been paid for. All of it. Every single bit of it. You know, it saddens me when you talk to people. Often, you'll meet people that have, and I'll just give you some common examples. Like if you've ever met a war hero or a veteran who's seen a lot of stuff that we have not seen, and probably none of you ever want to see, be thankful that we have heroes. Amen. Be thankful for your veterans. Don't be so quick to judge them, the ones that are sitting on the side of the street living that life. Don't be so quick to judge them for the lifestyle they're in. Hey, if you dealt with in your mind what they deal with every day, you probably wouldn't be the way you are either. Just be careful. And when you hear them say, it saddens me to think a man or a woman who's fought, some have died, but who's fought for their country and lost their legs, lost their arms, lost their eyes. I mean, come back home and they're so traumatized they can't even live in the same house as their family anymore because their family's scared of them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they think, you don't understand. If you seen what I saw and if you had to do what I did, there's no way God could ever forgive me. Can't tell you how many times I've had that conversation with people. And it saddens me to think that God has already made a way and has forgiven them their sins. Yet we still have people out there who just simply don't get it. There's some more people at the door. I don't know who they are, but there's more people right out there outside the door there. Thank you, Miss Janet. It saddens me that we have people out there like that. I'm talking about men and women who have went over there and literally all but given their lives for their country. Yet they believe all the evil they've been a part of and seen that God cannot forgive them. Isn't that sad to think about? Those men and women who've literally almost given their life so that we can be right here today in a nice air-conditioned room, opening the Bible without worrying about somebody crazy coming in the back and telling us we can't do this. How many is thankful you live in America? Praise God. Listen, you know men and women gave their lives for us to be here today. Many are back over here today and they are separated from society. And we look at them as a lost cause. Hey, they are the reason that you even have the right to think about like that. Amen. They're the reason. They're the ones that gave their time and their lives, and many of their families are gone. But their sin was judged by God at Calvary. Number two, if you continue to sin, God will chastise you as a father chastises his son. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, in verse 5 through 11, says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he," what, church? "Chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us." How many had parents who corrected you? Say amen. Amen. Be thankful for that. I know oftentimes when I have to correct, and it seems to me, I don't know how many of you have older teenagers or kids that are grown now, but it seems to me the older they get, the harder it is for me as a dad to keep correcting. Because as a little child, you're like, you feel bad, but at the same time, you're like, this isn't going to get fixed any other way. You know what I'm talking about? But as they get older, it seems like they have the ability to play mind games with you. Anybody else battle this besides me? Am I the only one? I'm glad I'm not. Oh, look at that. Look at this. Look, and it almost is like I feel more sorry for the teenagers than I do for my little daughter, who I know I can just correct, and she'll be just fine. And then she's back to smiling and happy, and everything's good. But, man, they just sulk, and they make you feel like you don't love them. And they walk around, and it's like, oh, woe is me. Dad got on to me again. And then you feel bad because you're like, they're getting on up in age where there should be like, you know, you feel like your relationship's messed up a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then sometimes it even gets to the point where I catch myself neglecting the chastisement because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Anybody ever made that mistake? That's a mistake. And I learned it. Listen, when I finally get to the point of like, okay, I've been putting this off for days. Look, you're going to have to realize that you're still of age to just go ahead and put your hands down flat. Now, I might have to get a new paddle at the end of the day. But you're still of age where you can put them hands down and we can have a come to Jesus meeting. And then that's what happens. Their attitude changes. And they're back to normal. And I'm like, why didn't I do this weeks ago? You know what I'm saying? That's a beautiful part about having six children. You learn lessons with the first couple that you hope you don't do with the last bunch of them. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know how it is in your house, but, you know, I chastisement is often in my house with six kids. And I, verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." You know why we ultimately discipline our children? Because we want them to be honorable members of society. Amen? You know, there's enough out there in this world that was neglected. There are still hundreds of thousands of children on a daily basis growing up in homes where chastisement is neglected. Amen? And for us, listen, not only are we Christians, but we want our children to grow up and know the Lord, do we not? I don't think there's any of us in here that would say, you know, I don't really think that's any of your business or my business. If they want to get saved, they'll get saved. If they don't, that's not really up to me. Well, you're right, it's not up to you. But God said for you to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, God gave them to you on purpose. God did not make a single mistake by giving you the exact children that you have. He knew exactly who mom was going to be. He knew exactly who dad was going to be. And he gave mom and dad the ability to take care of little Sally and little Johnny, just like he wanted you to. And he's given every single one of us the prescription on how to raise each and every one of your children. There's a great, great thing. I can't remember if Brother Shooter taught it when he was here, but I think he did, but how God wires children. You know, if you really want to know your children, get in your Bible and learn what the spiritual gifts are and learn how your children are wired. They're all different. I got six, and not a single one of them are the same. I mean, from what they like to eat, what they like to wear. Some of them walk around in sweatpants and hoodies in 100-degree weather. And I just don't understand it. Brother Tim, I don't. But they say, Dad, where we grew up in Alaska, this is what we wore, and I get that, but we're not there anymore. It's not 40 degrees.
It's 100 degrees, and you're making me sweat more staring at you. And then I have others who I'm lucky if they put their shorts and shirt on at all. I mean, I was watching yesterday. They were outside playing, and I paid attention, and I was watching Carolina. When she went outside, she had her dress on, and I watched her take a look at that slide. And I was watching from my office. I'm like, oh, she's going. And she kind of got in really quick, and then she hopped back out, and I seen her do this number. I'm like, she's about to take it off. And sure enough, that quick, whoop, off came the dress, and back in the pool went Carolina. Thank goodness she had some undergarments on. Praise the Lord. But see, there's other of my children would never do that. You see what I'm saying? They're all wired different. You can get some to eat vegetables, and some look at veggies, and they're like, I don't think so. Not happening. I don't know how they're even healthy. Captain Crunch must have some good nutrients. And Red Cap milk, amen. Don't drink the Blue Cap, okay? Red Cap. Y'all all right? Whole milk. But you'll also notice, one of my favorite things to notice is how they work in the church differently. Like Cassidy, for example, she loves to serve. In case you haven't known that, this week, every single time we went out, she said, Dad, don't leave without me. I want to go door knocking with you. And she loves it. She loves to get on the van. She loves to pass out tracts. She's wired like her father. She loves to meet everybody and know everything she can possibly know about everybody. Others, they're like, Dad, like, we'll go, but that's not really my thing to, you know, knock on doors. But look, it's nobody's thing until you try it, right? Amen? You could do it, but understand that they're all wired different. While you're chastising them and trying to, their ultimate goal is to see them saved. Amen? So, if you continue in sin, God will chastise you as a father chastises his son. And know this, God is going to chastise you. If you are a believer, say amen. You want to know why you're miserable being a Christian? Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. You are a Christian, which means you cannot undo what the Holy Ghost has done in you. Whether you like it or not, you can choose to go live for the world, but guess what? You still have the Holy Ghost inside of you who's contrary to everything you're doing and is constantly putting up a hedge of thorns around you. Why can't I go this way and be happy? Why can't I do this and be happy? Because there's one living within you who's against all sin. You want to live a victorious, joyous Christian life? Give up your sin, swallow your pride, start serving the Lord with singleness of heart. It's all about Him. We're almost done. Verse 11 says this, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We're going to unplug there today, but with that verse, how many remember when you used to discipline your kids and, man, it was hard, they were just being awful, but, man, when it was over, and you sat there, and most of the time we all lied to them and said, this hurt us more than it hurt them. It didn't physically, but in our hearts, it really did hurt because we had to discipline our children. But what it produced was a very peaceable spirit. Y'all ever watch that show Super Nanny? Oh my goodness. Do not let her teach you how to parent your children, okay? Don't do it. We've been watching that show, and it's hilarious how those kids, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes that we're not seeing. Because I've never seen a timeout chair work like that. Y'all know what I'm saying? That just makes them angry, and then they get back up. There's really no chastening. You understand what I'm saying? By the way, whom he loveth, he also chastens. A challenge to you parents this morning, listen. How much do you love your children? We have a generation coming up. We're not very far from a generation like in the book of Judges that knows not God. We're very close in America. And we as the church have got a very big responsibility. Amen? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for what you've done already. Lord, bless this next hour in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You are